morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to episode number 442 of the Jerseynet podcast, the Rangers podcast that is always free, brought to you by fans and made and for the fans. And as ever, the podcast will be live tonight, as you know, on YouTube. It'll also be available in the coming days on all of your usual podcast platforms. We also would advise you to visit our website at jerseynet.co.uk, where we have our forums, our history archives, and where you can get all your Rangers news as well. We are, as ever, brought to you in association with and appreciative to be brought to you by Forest Precision Engineering, excuse me. And if you want to find out more about their services, you can visit forestprecisioneng.org. And if that is not what you need, they also have a fantastic lounge in the historic Maid Stand in Ibrox. And for more information on how to book this unique and fantastic space, you can contact the club directly at hospitality@rangers.co.uk. And we're grateful to them for bringing the podcast as ever. So joining me tonight here we'll be looking back on last night's game away to Killy, and then sort of having a quick look at the European action, as well as maybe having a sort of quick look and nod towards the fact that the transfer window will be open this time next month. But without me waffling on any further, I would like to introduce my guest, Mr. Alec Anderson. We haven't been on together for quite a while. Last time we were on, I think you were sort of defending Russell Martin a little bit, so not much has changed. How are you?
It's still outraged. But I think it's been proven that it was a massive mistake to get rid of Russell. And I'll continue my one-man protest outside the main stand until he's brought back. I'm no bad, Ben. How's yourself, sir?
Yes, all good. An enjoyable footballing weekend for once. Nice. We don't get too many at the minute, so we may as well enjoy them.
Absolutely.
We will touch on that. But before we get into the game itself and the lineup, I just wanted to quick touch upon your thoughts, and I think I would sort of see you as a little bit of a traditionalist, so I would suggest that I know your opinion on this, but the 8 o'clock Saturday night kickoff time, I for one will lay my cards firmly on the table, and I do not like it. What about you?
You've got me banged to rights, but I totally can't stand it. Terrible. Completely ruined. The result was great, and it's turned, as you say, it's turned into a really nice weekend. It always strikes me as like football fans who tell you, "Oh, I hate the close season. I can't stand it. Kicking about in the summer, there's no football on. I can't wait to get back. I hate internationals. I can't wait to get back into the club scene." I think you don't really care. You're just a tourist. Because if you actually care the way we care about Rangers, especially the way things have been going at Rangers the past few years, you need a break. You need those little. You're just drained emotionally, and you need the. A little kind of break, little parts of the week and parts of the year that you can put aside, and you know, I don't have to do Rangers at that point. Even 55 nearly killed me because the celebrations after it almost literally, it was so good, but you needed a kind of calm down. So it's like the moving of the Champions League final to a Saturday night as well. That's not ruined it, obviously, but I just don't. Saturday night is that one time. Saturdays, it's that weird thing where Saturday 3 o'clock is the time traditionalists we want to be at the football, but it's Saturday 3 o'clock is the one time I actually hate watching football on the television, because if there's games on at that time, and then Saturday night, same thing. Even if, see, the reason we were probably at 8 o'clock last night, we saw Liverpool were at Elland Road at 5:30, and they'd RB Leipzig against Frankfurt, two of our old European foes, was on Sky Sports 3 before ourselves. But you'd just rather be doing something else. I wouldn't even be watching those games. I wouldn't be watching an attractive game between two clubs who aren't Rangers. You know, a Saturday night is one of those times to be chilling out with, a few beers, going out for a meal, or just sitting watching a stupid Hollywood movie or something like that. So, no, not a fan, mate.
Yeah, similar. It just doesn't feel like football time or something. I know it's ridiculous, but I would tend to be. I'd have been watching the boxing probably last night if Rangers went on.
All right, like the boxing.
I love the boxing, but anyway, main thing is the result. I would be moaning a lot more about the kickoff time if the result had gone differently. So there you go. We'll take it. We'll move on. And the last thing, just before we talk about the actual game, would be just in terms of the atmosphere and the pyro that we had. just wanted to get your opinion on it. Now, again, I'll give you my opinion. I think it looks class and all, but, you know, it's only going to hurt the team in terms of, it's only going to hurt the club. Sorry, we're going to end up getting a fine again. It's also, you can argue that it restricts the view of those at the game with the smoke for the first few minutes before it clears. And then there's obviously the risk of somebody getting hurt as well. I love the tifos, I love the atmosphere, I love all of it. And obviously, if you could safely do it without those problems, I wouldn't have a problem. But I just think going into it, and I know we're not the only fans to do it, and maybe I'm sounding older than I am here, but I just feel we could do without it in terms of the negativity that it brings. I think the negativity in terms of the fine and stuff outweighs what it can bring you in terms of an atmosphere.
It's one of those ones. It makes you probably realise your age or whatever your attitude is. There's that kind of thing with the away support in particular is different from the home support.
Yeah.
In these games, and I don't do away games. I probably missed a game at Hampden that Rangers have been involved in for the whole of the 21st century, really. But it's away games. I was less and less able to do them, to afford it or to afford the time, really. But you know what? They're practically all on television, so I can't really have a go at away supporters when they're making, you know, the way Rangers support when they're making the effort to go to the games and support the team. And I think it's also football itself. Are you a customer or is it, you know, a kind of communal experience? And I'm the same as you. I love the pyro. I think it looks phenomenal. And we've got the first thing Sky did was they panned back and they showed you the whole stands. There was none of this kind of what they do with, you know, bad language or whatever. Let's try and, you know, cover that up or apologise for it. It was, there you go. What a spectacle. Because the TV companies are trying to present a spectacle. You go to Hampden, Scotland games, cup semi-finals, finals. They've got, you know, fireworks on the park, you know, shooting up miles at Hampden in particular. Yeah. It's like rocket launchers. The stuff they have going on in the park. So there's a bit of kind of hypocrisy there, maybe, as well. And I think it's also, as a spectator, if you're going to an away game, are you going there just to get purely a cracking view of the game, almost as if you'd be watching it in a theatre or something like that? I think you go along and anticipating that it's going to be, it's part of the atmosphere. Maybe you don't get the best possible view, but you're enjoying this kind of communal feeling. But against all that, if we're getting fined, if we're getting, you know, if it's going to get the club sanctioned, it seems insane, but I can remember having that young mindset where it's like, well, the rules don't count. If I don't like the rules, you've got to go against it. I think there needs to be some sort of kind of conversation, not between the club and the Union Bears, but between the older punters and the Union Bears as to what we're going to do here. But it looks amazing. I mean, with Dense Park, it was Philip Clement, they won 5-0 up at Dense Park midweek, and it was like the place was on fire. And they got the game held up. It was already a delayed kickoff, but it looked great. I don't know if you saw a Racing Club in Argentina play. It's just, I didn't see the game. It's just all over YouTube.
Right.
They played Flamenco, who won the thing, won the Copa Libertadores, but they played Flamenco in the semi-final, home and away, and the leg in was Avellaneda, just an outskirts of Buenos Aires, in the Cilindro is the stadium they've got there, Racing Club, and it was unbelievable. It was just like the whole place was on fire. You couldn't see the players on the pitch or in. It looks amazing, creates a great atmosphere, but aye. And it is dangerous. It is dangerous. There's no getting away from that as well, but aye, it's something that's got to be sorted out.
Yeah, it's a hard one because I agree with everything you've said in terms of how it looks and all of that. And I can't fault the fans that are going, you know. I think it adds a lot, but I just hate seeing the club getting fined for no reason. I know it's not my money at the end of the day, but still, you know, we're all in it together. But I totally get it. I totally get it. And I can't really fault anyone. It was just a point I wanted to bring up. But onto the actual football. Now the lineup. In terms of, we've obviously drawn the previous two games going into it, and you need to go in for a win there. I want to touch on the lineup. Obviously, probably the most surprising one was James Tavernier being on the bench. However, the manager cleared that up in terms of saying that he'd been suffering with a bit of illness. So you can understand that one. Would you have made any other changes to the lineup that we did go for, or what would you have gone with?
I was pretty much up for testing out, giving it another go with the starting 11 from Tannadice on Wednesday, because although it didn't work out, perfectly by any manner of means up at Tannadice. I thought generally the way we were going for it, what we're trying to do, I thought this is worth another go. I might have had misgivings about Danilo starting again. But I rewatched bits of the game at Tannadice. He put a lot more into the game than I thought. So Diamandé coming in for him, that was fair enough. And somebody was mentioning to me, obviously, that Diamandé suspended for Europe and Thursday night. So it makes sense to kind of run him into the ground, you know, get the best out of him for this game and save somebody for Budapest on Thursday. But no, I might have liked to see what happens. I'm really interested in this thing. I think we all are with Bajrami now injured, but Bajrami being on the left and Gasma being on the right, maybe want to see the two of them on the other side, or even perhaps Bajrami getting in at 10. That might be an interesting to see. But generally, I was pretty happy. At first, I was the same as you. I'm like, that's a massive call. Dropping Tav. He's definitely been struggling recently, you know, for fitness and that, but he's still our main man in so many ways. Oh, big call by Danny Rowe, and there was nothing political about it. He was just ill, just a bit of flu or something like that, apparently. In fact, it became quite political in the fact that he still managed to get him on the park at the end. You know, so Tav is clearly still the man. But no, I was quite happy to see what we're going to do, if we could push on and go a step further for this, the attacking intent that we had on Wednesday.
There wasn't a whole lot I would have argued with from the team either. I mean, to be honest with you, nobody in the squad is performing well enough to make a real argument that they must play. And that's just the truth. But I would probably have liked to see Bajrami in at the 10, because I think that's where you get the best out of him. And at the minute, he is looking creative, although who knows now how long he's going to be out for, which is just typical. But I can't argue a lot. Is there anyone within the squad, though, that you are sort of surprised that they're not getting a chance? I'm thinking of one person in particular, but I'm just interested to see who it might be for you.
You think Lyle Cameron or Finlay Curtis? Finlay Curtis, I forgot to admit, I think when you saw, I think we couldn't get it out of our minds, the miss that Big Chermiti had up at, you know, the point blank header from 6 yards out. The miss he had, he's only scored one goal, and that was against Comarca at Ibrox, their keeper helping it into the net. And Danilo, you know, scored this season, but a couple of kind of blatant misses the other night as well, it seemed to be. At Tannadice, one of them could perhaps be blamed on the way Gasma pulled the ball back to him, fired the ball back to him from close range, that one in the second half. But I think you're looking at Finlay Cameron, and I'm looking at Finlay Curtis, and I'm thinking he scored in both those big pre-season friendlies we had against Middlesbrough and Bruges. He scored our first goal of the season. You know, he scored in Europe against Panathinaikos. He scored in the league. He came on and saved us a point at Paisley. He scored against Alloa in the League Cups. He scored in like three different competitions, four if you want to include friendlies as a competition. And you've got Chermiti out there, who's scored one goal that was helped in by the Comarnock goalkeeper. Kind of makes sense to have him on the park. And then, of course, with Bajrami getting his injury, there was a really interesting inclusion of Finlay Curtis last night, we're coming to talk about. But I'm at the stage just now where I'm the same as I was with Russell Martin, basically. Ben, I'm just thinking the manager knows. I'll just leave it up to Danny Rowe. He's doing well enough. He's doing far better than Russell Martin. And I'm just in a kind of situation where I'm thinking, the same as I thought, the directors will eventually sack Russell Martin if it's not working out right. They're not going to be messing about. And they did. And they sacked a few other people as well. The same thing with Danny Rowe. I'm just giving him that power quite happily. If he doesn't think anybody's ready to get in the team, they're not ready to get in the team. But Lyle Cameron, teams like box to box. He scored for us in Europe this season as well. An important goal over in Pilsen, in Polzenia. So I find it strange. I find it a mystery. I'm quite interested in why these players aren't getting included. And the manager does talk about it in his pressers. He's quite open about it. But I'm in no way bothered about it at all. It's just Danny Rowe will do for me just now. His kind of word goes for me.
Yeah, I'm sort of similar-minded in terms of it. I would like to see, because I've been encouraged by the little that we have seen of Cameron, and also that was under a previous management team and style that wasn't suited, in my opinion. So I would like to see how he does. And I think this team lacks energy, it lacks drive, it lacks goals. And he, when you look at the goals he scored last season for Dundee, you know, he can clearly bring all of those things. So I'm not screaming out, and I'm not, you know, devastated that he isn't playing, but I would like to see him getting some sort of chance to make an impression. He certainly isn't a player. He's a player you would always wonder about if for some reason he left the club at the end of the season or in January or whatever without having given a real chance. You would wonder because you've seen something, you know. That's just how I feel about him.
It does seem weird. It definitely is. And also, isn't it funny, but it's a comment that I just wasn't thinking, oh, we need to give Asgard a shot. That's just thinking, nah, that's fine. I'm quite happy for Danilo to stay at 10 or Diamandi to go in at 10 or whatever. It's been a weird squad we've got, no.
So under the performance itself, I suppose a two part question really. What did you think of the performance? And before you answer that, it would be sort of along the lines of how important was the performance, or do you feel that we know where this squad is at in terms of it's to me a higher end mid table side quality wise right now, which is sad, but it is the reality. So I sort of feel that as much as I want to see them playing well, I sort of feel we just need to keep limping over the line. I'm not saying obviously we didn't limp over the line yesterday, but I think we need to just make sure we're getting the result. And if it is a 1-0, a 2-1, that's kind of where the squad is at. But the most important thing right now is the result, is stay in touch so that in January we can perform surgery and then have a realistic expectations of performance levels. So for you right now, is that where you're at, or does performance really matter right now?
Performance definitely matters because we're assessing what a new head coach is doing with the squad, and we know it's a really poor squad. So and I think that the result mattered, and that we would have the momentum still behind Danny Rowe, still generally favourably. I found it quite incredible that we dropped points against Falkirk, and straight away there was questions being asked. But it was the first points he's dropped. He wins four consecutive league games in the league. I mean, it's a bad results in Europe. But even then, we lose 3-0 to Bran in Bergen in his first game. 2-0 at home to Roma, but they don't get a second gear, but it is only 2-0 to a Serie A challenger. And then we're drawing with Braga. It's like he's getting a steady improvement in Europe, and we were in free fall in Europe. And then in the league, he's won 4 in the trot. That's his third clean sheet last night out of the 4 we've achieved in the league this
with
season.
That's
exactly it, Ben. That's exactly it. You've got right to the point there. We can judge Danny Rowe just now on what he's doing with this team, with this squad that he's, this car crash that he's inherited, really. And you can say, well, we're quite happy for this guy. If he can do that with this lot, we're quite happy to give him the money, however much money is going to be available in January. It'd be really interesting to see what we can do with that. You get what's happened today in the league as well, meaning, you know, a title challenge is still, but you know, it's on the... We're kind of on the edges of perhaps having a title challenge as well. But I was more interested in seeing... I wanted him to win. He needed to win yesterday because it would then be a case of he's had 4 straight draws, 3 of them in the league after 4 straight league wins. It's just all kind of any momentum, any the kind of fan backing is going to start melting away. Because that was the whole thing, the Russell Martin thing. It's about the fact that there's no context. There's no context with the support. We just, if we don't win, if we have a bad night, that is it. You know, there's no suck it and see. We've got this massive takeover. You know, these guys have bought us for like 75 million. They've put another 30 million in, and straight away, they're not messing about. I knew this was going to happen. This is what we're saying to Russell Martin. When it's time for him to go, he'll go. And 10 minutes into that game against Falkirk, it was time for him to go. I didn't think you didn't know for sure if it was time for him to go before then, but it was. It then became at that point, and he went that night, and the people who employed him, who picked him, they went shortly afterwards. And I think it's the same with Danny Rowe. I just want to see a guy who looks like he knows what he's doing. There's a step change, there's a gradual improvement. So when we drew these 2 games, I wasn't too worried about it, but I was going to be worried if it went to a third straight draw or a third straight failure to win. But I was most interested in what had happened at Tannadice. It's like he said, this draw with Falkirk, we've kept it, you know, we've shut it up at the back. We haven't conceded at home. I think that's only the second home league clean sheet of the season. But the attack, there was nothing happening in the attack. Wednesday night, right, we're going to go all out attack. And that really opened us up at the back with some woeful defensive moments. And it was last night, we had a combination of the two, you know, but we come out the right side of it. You know, it wasn't far from a perfect performance. Lots of it was very bitty, but the good bits were really good, and the bad bits were nowhere near as bad as they were on Wednesday. We're worrying about the finishing Wednesday night. We kind of put away chances. Well, we put them away last night, you know. So I was concerned about all aspects of it just now, Ben, and I think generally the result was absolutely perfect, and the performance was good enough for a manager who's just in the door and is improving us.
I think that's all fair. I mean, I've seen it debated that were we good, were Killie bad? For me, it's somewhere in the middle. I think we were decent, and I think they were poor. But it's still a tough place to go, and you know, we've gone there, we've kept a clean sheet with that defence, we'll say it again. And we've scored three goals, which, you know, we're still looking vulnerable, there's no doubt about that, but we know that's going to be the case. But, you know, there's no doubt that team would have gone there 2 months ago and been vulnerable, not put any chances away, and lost that game 1-0, even if they were first. So there's no doubt that we are making steps, and sort of that's how I feel about it. But onto our team, what I think something you said there about the league is there for the taking, and I agree to a point. In my opinion, we will not win the league this season. Now, the reason we will not win this league, in previous years, there have just been teams that are better than us, namely the team that wins it. You know, this year, I don't honestly think there are teams better, but I know it sounds ridiculous if they're not better. I think it's ourselves just not having that cutting edge, that solidity to consistently churn out results, you know, is the only thing that's going to stop us. It's not that the opposition are so superior. It's just this team doesn't believe in itself, and we don't believe that they can churn out result after result that you need to do to win titles. That was a really good step last night. However, it looked like it was going to be a really good step when we won 4-0 at Dundee. And we didn't build upon that. And with this team, you sort of feel that, yes, there'll be a couple of good results, and then there will be that draw coming there. So, you know, I don't know. For me, that's why we don't win the league. But the one of the reasons that they were staying for such a long time, why we wouldn't win the league, would be that we can't put the ball in the net. And Wednesday night, as you touched upon, that was totally evident. However, one of the most encouraging things last night was the first game that I feel like we saw the Mayovsky that we expected to see when he walked through those doors. And I don't just mean because he scored two goals. I thought all round he was more involved in the game. His runs were better. His movement was better. And then you could see in his celebration the weight from that first goal, the weight that came off. And then the second goal, it's finished really well. That's what I expected. And if we can consistently get that, you know, you just never know what this team can do. Were you encouraged by Mayovsky?
But it's... My favourite kind of moan this season is like with Danilo in particular. Just bloody hit the thing. Put your foot through it. You know what I mean? Why you don't have to craft... And I think that everybody's saying that about him. It's a term that's been used all the time. He's trying to craft the ball into the net, into the bottom corner, whatever. I'm like, just hit the bloody thing. And there last night, Mayovsky came out. And when Mayovsky was at Aberdeen, remember people talking, we need to get Shanklin, we need to buy him. And I'm saying, well, if we can't get him, get Mayovsky, because that boy's a craftsman. He's an artist. You know, the way the runs he would make against us, you saw him scoring against Celtic and that as well, and for Aberdeen, the runs he would make, he's finishing, it's just like a proper striker.
Reminded me of Defoe. I'm not saying he is as good as Defoe, but the instinctual finish that you just can't...
There's an artistry to it. He's not a poacher. Yeah. He can do the poaching. Well, it is all essentially poaching, knowing where to break. He's not a guy who's just like waiting at the back post to get his head on something, or he's throwing himself in there for 6 yards out, Ben. You're spot on. There's an artistry there.
Yeah.
It's kind of balletic at times. And we weren't really that. We only seen that, but it's the same as everything else. You're talking about us losing a bit of form after the win up at Dens Park, but we're losing our two centre-halves as well in between times. And this is all on top of the club being bought over, trying to have a clear out in the summer, not replacing the players properly at all. These guys have got the real money, Kavanagh and Marati. So but it means there's a whole lot of upheaval. Even if the Russell Martin signing, if we'd got Danny Rowe at the beginning of the season as opposed to Russell Martin, if everything had gone perfectly for a massive takeover like that, a complete infrastructural change, there would still be upheavals. A league win would pushing it, really. But I just thought to see Majovski score and get a striker scoring last night. Majovski's, he's subject to all that as well. Every player that's arrived here is subject to those fluctuations. And every season you will sign players who, the one signing doesn't work out, there'll be one signing who takes 3 or 4 months to settle in, like fine wine, he needs to get, and I'm hoping that's Majovski. And you'll get somebody who looks like a car crash and then will become brilliant. I remember Calvin Bassey, his first season, I thought, yeah, why, this guy's an absolute bomb scare. Get him to, and the following season, he was just, it's like the, one of the greatest things I've ever seen in my life. And I'm hoping maybe Emi Fernandez will end up being the same, because he's got little bits of him. You think, ah, very silky big man. Other times you're like, Christ, no. But I just think with us doing this to be the whole squad being completely overhauled as well as the whole club, we can't carry that kind of stuff this season. We can't carry, there can't be players who are just, oh, we can afford to have him having a bad season, his first season at Rangers. We can't afford to give this guy 4 months to settle in. Everything's heightened. Everything's more hysterical. But I think adding into it that we expect to win the league is expecting too much. I just want to see the proper change. That I want to see is becoming this club that's going to win things, you know, 3 or 4 leagues in a row, as opposed to maybe winning this season. But it's there. It's doable. It's just totally doable. They're so bad. It's... Hearts have never been through that. They haven't been through this for like 2 generations, really. And Celtic seem to be absolutely killing themselves. This is suicidal stuff from them as well. So I would just like us to go a bit, but we're not even getting 2 points a game just now. The 4 points we've dropped in those 2 draws we just had, that would have let us go into 30 points last night if we'd won those 2 games. And that's you basically in 15 games, 2 points a game. And that's what we had last season to finish second. You know, I think like 2.1 points a game this season is going to win you the league, probably. So we need to be getting ourselves up there. But I just thought Majovski kind of embodied that, the fact that we can suddenly, guys are going to start hitting form. He's just been biding his time. He was putting himself about more.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm talking too much here, Ben. I'm just going to say one more thing. He's putting himself about more on Wednesday night at Tannadice. He had a bad miss, I thought, right? Kind of 16, 17 minutes in, but guy was holding his collar. Maybe that put him off. But he's trying to get involved. And I think under Russell Martin, the players had been told to like maintain their positions, you know, and we weren't getting up the park because they weren't coming back to help us get up the park. And he's just thinking, and I think him and Danilo were swapping between like 9 and 10, you know, the two of them throughout the game. So that's got him running about, maybe finding his feet again. Last night, it was a huddle going on between Rangers and Kilmarnock players in the box. It's a really strange build-up to the first goal. And he just comes out with this no back lift, picking his spot. It was kind of really out of the blue. And then the second goal, you're thinking, he's going to bend it into the top corner. The commentators were saying this as well, but I was like, I can feel it. No, he's taking the guy out of the game. He's taking the commander player out of the game. He's now going to curl that in. We pass the keeper into the top corner. He's, oh my God, no. He's cut in. When you physically feel how he's going against the grain of what you're expecting watching it on telly, thinking how the commander defence have got absolutely no chance. Craftsman, absolute craftsman in the world. It was lovely, lovely to watch. And I think that'll be him hopefully going on the, you know, generally keep his end of the bargain up for now on.
I'm hoping so. You know, it's very encouraging, and hopefully now he needs a consistent run now. That's, you know, very, very key for a player like him. But you know, the signs were good yesterday, and you know, I thought when we signed him it was a great signing, and I sort of had almost given up. But you know, players do need time. That's an important thing that you've said there. You know, we want to win, and we want to win now. But sometimes it doesn't work like that. And he's never been on a club like Rangers, you know, with the pressure. And then he's also walked into a car crash in the summer, you know.
I think we can only guess what the atmosphere has been like in the dressing room. And obviously Raskin's a big figure in the dressing room, obviously fell out with Russell Martin, and players are in there probably getting told, don't worry about it, Martin will be getting sacked shortly. You know, Tav and Nico are like, we've got rid of guys like that before. Don't worry, he'll be away. Just keep in with us. while Russell Martin's thinking, no, I'm getting rid of Raskin, I'm here to shake this whole shit up. Guys will not let Ant-Man, you know, maybe Asgard, I think it will have blown their minds and completely upset their concentration. That's what I'm saying. With too many, there's just too many players arriving this summer into too kind of febrile a situation. It's not just like you've got your settled squad, two or three new signings, one of them will be great, one takes time, one doesn't work out. It's too much, but that's why it's so good, as you say, to see Majovski finally hitting the mark.
Yep. I want to touch on three other players specifically, two of which are kind of tied together. But before we do, I think one man that deserves his own little section is Connor Byrne. Really, really impressive performance. And, you know, Connor Byrne does the dirty work and does it well. You know, we know there's limitations there, but right now, Connor, and maybe okay, this isn't the greatest squad and all, but right now, Connor Byrne's undroppable in terms of, you know, the starting 11 for me. You know, he avoids a clear goal yesterday. I know it was given offside wrongly, but, you know, VAR would have given it. So, you know, and the desire that he showed to get back and clear that ball off the line sort of epitomizes him for me. But I also think he's growing with confidence. You know, I saw him, I think it was in the first half, around half an hour, he sort of cuts in from the right, okay, and he has a shot, tries to curl it in, he gets it very wrong. But I don't think Connor Byrne would have done that a couple of months ago. I don't think he probably would have done it last season. I think he's growing into the shirt, and he's certainly a player that's impressed me. I know Majovski got man of the match, and it's hard to argue with a striker who scored two getting man of the match, but I think Byrne pushed him for it anyway.
It should have been Byrne. You're right. I mean, but I'm gushing about how well Majovski did to get his two goals, but it was it was still a bit of a liberty that Connor Byrne didn't get man of the match last night, as far as I was concerned as well, Ben. He was phenomenal. He was absolutely phenomenal. And he doesn't always perform to that level. Doesn't always get the opportunity to show what he can do. Is that kind of, and I think we Kilmarnock, we're talking earlier about there's a debate will go on about whether Kilmarnock were just bad or it was about Rangers being good. Kilmarnock at Rugby Park, far better Rangers teams. It's a cliche that's been said in the last 24 hours, but far better Rangers teams have lost, you know, to Kilmarnock at Rugby Park. It always seems to be a dreich nighttime game as well. It's always, I mean, we do play there in afternoon kickoff and that, but it feels like it's been years since we were there in daylight, you know, and that's almost like you could have got, if it's 3 o'clock on a Saturday afternoon, you get a bit of daylight at the beginning of the game. No, it's got to be 8 o'clock on a Saturday night, so it's just Rugby Park on that rubber pitch. I know they've upgraded it, but we've lost another player on that rubber pitch. But I feel as if they did what they do so well, Kilmarnock, even though they're in a really bad run of form just now. Just the launching it, the physicality, using what they know about the pitch, and just being kind of bastards, for want of a better word, being dirty, going after, you know, trying to get the wind-ups, going in late and stuff like that. And we coped with all of it. And Connor Byrne's the kind of guy who, Scottish player, knows what this game's all about, knows what Kilmarnock are, what these kind of games are all about. And I think also, I'm talking about guys needing a season to settle in, and we've got too many of them this season. New signings, well, he's had last season, where he had the same thing, you know, some games better than others, sometimes didn't see him at all, other times you thought, oh, he's coming on to a proper game, Connor Byrne. And I think he's using that experience. This season, we're starting to see the best of him. I've done it again. I need to, every time we talk about Byrne, Raskin or Diamandé, I need to go back and check up how many times they actually played together in Europe last season. I've got this thing in my head that this little triangle they form, you know, especially Diamandé goes to 10, Byrne, and it's not always Diamandé of the three of them, but Byrne and Raskin are, Olympiacos, maybe. I don't know if the three of them played in Nice together, did they?
I feel like they did it a few games
in Europe where they just kind of destroyed as much as they created in the middle, and it was just brilliant. You know, they really took it to the opposition, and they were up for a battle, up for a war, and Byrne just fits right into that. So a wee bit last night where I think it's the build-up to the third goal, and Nico Raskin, who did a lot of really subtle stuff last night, involved in every goal, he dispossesses Kilmarnock kind of as they're trying to come out their box. They're trying to play out for the back, a play out of a Rangers attack. And Raskin comes in and just makes the tackle. And just it's this one just kind of really smooth as anything move. Connor Byrne comes in beside him and he takes it away. He takes it away for the kind of 50-50. And it's like Raskin's just said, right, that's the ball. I've got that for you. Who's wanting it? And quite, almost like a kind of quarterback, just had a handoff to a running back in the gridiron. And away he went. They're just reading each other so well. And I thought they all combined brilliantly. Like Diamandé, Raskin, that as well. And they kind of build up to, I think I'm getting mixed up with the goals. But they combined for the goal as well. And a kind of general build up, a move up the park. And he just fits in so well. But that bit where he comes back and he clears the ball off the lines. You know, he looked like he was going to, you know, I've just got to go and, you know, I've got a race against Usain Bolt or something, you know, later on the night up at Scottiston or something. I'll just knock this ball off the line while I'm on my way there. It just appeared out of nowhere. See somebody else taking corners for Rangers, and next thing he's back at his own goal line. So I thought he was different class last night, mate. And I thought he was robbed at the man of the match.
Yeah, and I know it's an easy kind of case to make given his previous club, but there's definitely parallels with Ryan Jack for me in terms of how he's growing into the role. Although so far, and I probably shouldn't say it, but he's managing to stay fit. So there's a major difference.
That's the difference. But I kind of different. I got the whole Aberdeen thing as well. You know, I remember Ryan Jack literally quarterbacking a game. Not literally, obviously, but very much quarterbacking a game against Kilmarnock at Robbie Park during 55 season. The only time he went there that season. It was a hell of a day. That it was a long, long game. We won that 1-0. Plays kind of different, obviously, Conor Barron to Ryan Jack. But if he's getting into that kind of level, then we'll be fine.
Yeah, sounds good. Yeah, and then the next player I want to touch on, I'm going to be a little bit don't need as much time on this one, but Finlay Curtis, we've been crying out to see him. What did you make of the position that he or his performance? Sorry.
Couple of great moments, and then I thought he had a few wobbly moments as well. Difficult for him. He's coming on unexpected. He's coming on the 20th minute. Should always be ready, and that's something Danny Rule always talks about with the players. I don't know if that's one of the problems he's got with the, you know, Cameron and Curtis. Maybe they don't feel as if he doesn't feel as if they're sharp enough in terms of their overall preparedness to come into the team. I don't know, but he's really involved in the first goal. Those kind of a couple of 1-2s with Majovski. It was cruel. I'm going off. It was really cruel. But I think he's got to try and look at it, I think, as a case of the manager, the head coach, really wanted to play Mikey Moore, wanted to get Mikey Moore some minutes, but he didn't want to give Mikey Moore more than a quarter of an hour. So it's like, if Bajrami hadn't got injured, you were never going to be on the park at all, Finlay.
Yeah.
But he's not going to look at it like that because it's horrible to get subbed as a sub. And he's talking about how it was a tactical change as well. Danny Rowe was saying, going to the 3-5-2, and it all kind of makes sense. But it was harsh. It was harsh. And he gets taken out. He gets taken out in the build-up to the second goal, I think it is. The second goal. So he definitely took it 1 or 2 for the team last night. But I hope that doesn't damage his confidence.
Mm-hmm. No, I would expect it any minutes. Him to get something from an experience, and he's not somebody that I'm going to judge on one substitute appearance. I think he needs time, and I think he'll get it. And it is encouraging that he got those minutes, so I'm pleased with that. And just on Mikey Moore would be the last one. Really, he's sort of, when he first came in, I just didn't see it. What we were supposed to see, but he was, before he got his injury, he was growing into the performance. He got his first goal, and then he sort of picked up there where he left off. And I think the important thing about this, I know a lot of fans don't like loan signings, but given the state of the squad and given how much needs to be done in January, having a player like him that's starting to grow into the shirt again, I keep using that phrase, but he really is, and his confidence is getting up. I think he could play a big part between now and the end of the season.
When you see the way Mikey Moore played last night, Ben, I think that's why you can't write off Rangers as a title challenge. I just, that was the kind of stuff you get from title-winning teams when he came onto that park last night. It took us into a different... I know Kilmarnock are chasing the game at that point. We're already a couple of goals up, but I think you're also seeing why Russell Martin was the wrong man for the job and why Danny Rule's the right man for the job. Yeah. You know, the difference they've made. Just the little change of position, bringing him in a bit. Maybe unfair on Russell Martin in that perhaps Mikey, he couldn't get it right at all. He definitely was done. And I think Mikey was one of the players that... exposes just how bad Russell Martin was for us, because, or maybe it's how good Danny Rule is, but he's come in there, he's tweaked it a bit. And he, I thought it was amazing that he's left off, he's started up again exactly where he left off, wearing the all-orange, away from home, 3-0 win for Rangers. He gets a goal, and he also gets another one disallowed. It's quite incredible. But the way he turned his man for that, for the goal, for the goal that counted, was different class. Because sometimes when he's been interviewed, I think he's such a young guy. I mean, this is a cheat, a morbidly obese old man like me, but I think he's got a bit of kind of puppy fat on him. Maybe needs to lose a bit of weight or something. Yeah. But he saw him not. It's weight, it's bulk, and he used it to turn his man as much as his kind of the fleet of footness, and then he's away. He's just, it's not like it's holding him back and in like that. The Kilmarnock players are grabbing at him, you know, swinging at him. It's just absolutely floundering in his wake. And then the goal that was disallowed, just, you think, as he got that ball, you're thinking, there's no way he's crossing that. He's going to put that in for that angle. And he did. By that point, you're just, it was exhibition stuff. And you knew he was going to do it by that point, just having seen 5 minutes of him. I'm so glad he's come straight back and get straight back onto the score sheet. There's none of this kind of, Mikey Moore, he was looking like he was coming onto a game and he never really recovered for that injury. Yeah. Straight back onto it. Although, Kilmarnock Bamport, number 24, it's a horrible ankle snapper on him right at the end. That was terrible, but he was great, mate. He was great, and he's so good. He's become so good so quickly that you're thinking, yeah, maybe that's the kind of guy you could bank a title challenge on.
Mm. And we'll not spend too long on this, because we could talk about it forever, and we know that the refereeing's not good. But just to touch on the big Rangers fan that is Kevin Clancy, three particular you could pick as many as you wanted, really, but three particular incidents that I wanted to touch upon. Two involving Diamande. Now, Diamande's barged over by there. I think it was Robbie Deeds. It could be wrong.
Number six,
and then suddenly the only player booked for the offensive by the Kilmarnock player was Mayovsky. I mean, only Kevin Clancy could manage that one. I mean, that's laughable. But the other one involving Diamande was the obvious one, and it was the pull which started inside the box and went further in. Now, whether the player, I think it was Watson, would have got to the ball is another question. But I always try and look at these situations. If the rules were reversed, what would I be looking for? And I think we got off with one there. What about you?
We got off with one. I think we got off with one with Jack Butland as well, when he cleaned out
Bruce. So, yeah.
I mean, if it's that thing, look, Kevin Clancy, great play by Kevin Clancy. You've got to give the guy credit where it's due, allowing play on when Finlay Curtis get taken out on the halfway line over at the touchline. He's realised that Rangers are on a roll here, when there's a counter attack on. Or was Kevin just thinking, nah, that's a fine tackle, nothing wrong with that? Was he playing on? He just wasn't giving anything against us. You genuinely don't know. And I think you're quite right, mate, to think about the decisions that went for us through his bad refereeing as much as for... If we're ruling out the fourth goal, I mean, even then, you think that of the two incidents that are offered up as reasons for ruling out the fourth goal that didn't stand, it was the lesser of the two. It was the one you never noticed. But I'm like, Big Fernandez can't help it. He can't help being huge. Tiffany's just bounced off him. No, it's not that. It's not that one. This guy's just run across him. He's just run right across him. You know, there's no change direction or anything. He's not even looking at the fella. And you're thinking, so if that's a foul that gets a goal disallowed, what Jack Butland's done to Bruce Anderson is like a 6-month suspension. You know, so it's not, and it wasn't that. I mean, it's just, you know, I don't want to do the old man thing. And back in my day, that was just a 50-50. And it's you can see, I can just about see why he never gave anything against Jack Butland for that one. But it was just so much worse than the incident that got our fourth goal disallowed. And the Diamande, all that stuff in injury time at the end of the first half, it just seemed to be Bojan Majovski going about smiling and laughing with the ref, as well as the centre-halves. He does foul somebody, kind of leans on somebody mildly, in the same way that Giga had leaned on somebody mildly and got booked.
That's right.
And what is actually going on here? It was rather inconsistent. That's what everybody's saying. It's consistency. We want consistency. Well, it was consistently bewildering at times.
That's fair.
It could have gone against us. And I think the whole thing about, well, we were 3-0 up. The fourth goal doesn't matter. You won the game anyway. I mean, the fourth goal difference. If we'd won 5-0 last night, we'd have gone third. And we're in a season where there's, you know, potentially three teams vying for the title. Maybe Motherwell's going to keep going all the way as well. It could be the difference between you're in the Champions League qualifiers or you're in the Conference League qualifiers at one goal here or there. It all counts, but I think when I look back on it last night, a few incidents you're thinking, that's really gone against us, that's terrible. But you always try to balance it. I think, right, okay, was there anything that went for us that should have gone to Kilmarnock? And there was two or three, I thought, that could quite easily have done so. So, just a generally wacky Kevin Clancy performance, I thought.
Yeah, typical. But anyway, sort of moving on from the game, good performance, and, you know, hopefully something to build on. But this time next month, you know, Christmas will be over. Cherry thought, you know, we're usually depressed on these pods, so I thought I'd bring that up as well for everyone. But yeah, you know, the window will be open and have been open for a few days. We need a lot of work, as we've already touched upon. If you were to pick three key positions, what would they be, and why are they centre half? No, but in all seriousness, what would they be?
Aye, and why is it only three positions? I mean, I think 11, mate. I feel maybe prioritise centre half. Yeah. And I'm talking two centre halves, at least two starter centre halves. We've lost our first choice centre halves, and you think about Cornelius and Souter, and you're thinking, but even they really, I mean, John Souter's no. I don't know how interested he is in signing an extension. We're not interested in offering him a new contract or whatever. So that's he's definitely going. So needs must anyway. But we need a six, an out and out six. We need definitely another striker, at least one other striker. You know, I don't know what's going on. Gassama is great, then he fades away. I think every position, it's difficult to nail one down, but I would, if I had to go, and fullbacks, we need a couple of fullbacks, and the goalkeepers, Jack Butland is on a really good season generally this season, but we need a proper starter goalie as well. I think we need an upgrade at goalkeeper, but I go centre-half first, a six, and another striker, but it could be anywhere, mate.
Is there any? Yeah, absolutely, it could be. There's nobody, as I said to Craig last week on the
pod. As soon as I say that, I'm going, no, leave striker, give us a fullback. I can't make up my mind. It's too much.
There's nobody. If you lost anybody from the squad, you wouldn't be heartbroken. So there's nobody that's irreplaceable right now.
I don't think so, no.
Is there anyone for those three positions or any others domestically that you would be going after from our league, just out of interest?
Jesus, I don't think I'm watching enough. I don't watch enough of the other team. And I'm terrible. I'm that kind of terrible football. I just watch Rangers. I very rarely notice. I mean, I noticed Majovski, you know, over the years. Obviously noticed Lauren Shanklin, but that's never happening now. I'm just more interested in seeing how serious. Who's the fella that's scoring all the goals for Motherwell? I can't remember his name. The guy that's playing really well for Motherwell just now, but I think he might be off to AFCON.
Manawesi or something? Or
yeah, he's on form, but I'm not really watching Motherwell every week. I'm not watching enough of their games to judge the players that are playing against us just now, but I'm just really interested to see what Kavanagh and Marate are wanting to do in January. You get it, it's a bad transfer window. Anybody you get is going to be, they're either, you know, somebody doesn't want them, so they don't, some club doesn't want them for a reason. If they're parting with them in January, you know, there's got to be problems there, and you're trying to get them into a team that's a new environment, try to settle them in when you're halfway through the season. But I don't know. I think with the sacking of, never mind the sacking of Russell Martin, I thought the sacking of Stewart and Thelwell was brilliantly vicious. It's one of the ones. I'm very kind of like, just let it go, you know. But just back the team. Don't panic, you know. We'll get there eventually. But to see, it reminded me when Barry Ferguson was playing for Rangers and he went to Blackburn, and I was like, right, that's fine. You know, he should. I love Barry so much. We got so much out of him. It's been a joy to watch him. But I'm like a dad to him almost. I want to see my son. It breaks my heart for him to be leaving home, but I want him to go out there and make the best of himself. And when he was going to come back to Rangers, I was like, oh no, what are you doing? You should. And Barry Ferguson himself just said, no, it's just rubbish. You're allowed to, you can lose games down in England. I like coming to Rangers where you've got to win every week. And my heart was like bursting with pride, you know. He's telling me that I'm not enough of a Rangers supporter, you know. And it was the same with Kavanagh. I'm sitting there going, maybe Thirlwell will get January as well, just to give him a chance to redeem himself, you know. Russell Martin maybe picked a lot of these signings. And Kavanagh's like, no, he's away. I'm like, oh, yourself, Andrew, that's fantastic. You know, so I don't know if he's going to do the same thing in January and just go, there's 30 million for January as well. And just give, I think that's what you're talking earlier about the performance or the result last night. The main thing is faith, general faith in Danny Rule is maintained. And it looks like Danny Rule is going to be your sporting director. Philip Clement stuff again. We just kind of get with this situation. Come January anyway, probably. So he's going to be in charge of picking who he wants. He's spent a lot of time with Kavanagh telling him who he wants. So I'm just more interested to see how much we spend and how much we're going to absolutely go for it and just rip up a team in January, you know?
Yeah, no, it certainly will be interesting. There's no doubt.
About yourself, that. What are you going for, Ben? The signings is positions.
Positions, obviously, centre half, left back. As you say, it could be anywhere, but centre half, left back, and striker. And I think a lot of it's going to depend on who we can manage to shift out. And I would like to see some of these players shifted out. You know, I know it's hard to do, but not on loan. You know, I think we want to get this done and get them out. You know, you don't want the likes of Ben Davies who's out on loan for 2 years and then eventually scurries off. You know, it needs to be a fresh start. But it's not easy to do it. I get it. But centre half is massive because, as you said, the top two are out, but they're not good enough anyway. Although Cornelius potentially, but I haven't seen enough to certainly say if you were to make a decision on him right now, I don't think it would be saying I'd be spending 6 million or whatever it is to sign him. It'll be an interesting January, and I think something we could talk about all night. But
I'll slip in one more. Do you think Raskin's going to be here at the end of the January transfer window? Or do you think this contract thing, he's got a longer contract than we thought. Is that just to get the price up so he can finance a January rebuild?
I don't think he moves 6 months out from World Cup. I think he probably would have. But I have a feeling that he stays there. Again, could be wrong. What about yourself?
I wouldn't be bothered if he went. If we got a good price for him,
I wouldn't anymore.
You know, I don't know. Even though I think Russell Martin obviously was the loser in that little war, I think Nico was too up for that kind of little war as well. And there's games he drifts from, but it was magnificent last night. And if he wants to stay here and get his World Cup form going, well, that'd be fine. But I'm not sure he's going to be here next year. So he definitely will be, folks. Get money on him being here next year. I'm not sure he's going to be here. He definitely will be.
Moving on to Thursday night then, almost a glorified friendly at this point, given where we are in Europe. Would you rotate the squad, or do you think now that we've found a winning formula as such, it's important to just try and build some momentum? And then also, does the fact that we have the extra day in between, does that sort of factor into it, that there is extra rest, so the players should, because we don't play Hibs until the Monday rather than the Sunday? Would that change your opinion on that?
I think that's really good. I didn't realise that. I knew we were playing Hibs not until the Monday extra day. I think that's great. But then it's like a week, basically like 6 days, I think, till we play Hearts, Tynecastle. Yeah. Then it's another best part of a week till we play Motherwell after that. So it's starting to space out a bit. That's got to be good. But to be honest with you, I don't think it's a glorified friendly. We're not going to qualify, but I love the Europa League. I love Rangers in Europa League. And to have finished eighth last season and then be on the cusp of eight defeats in the trot in Europe this season was horrible. It's been absolutely horrible. So I want us to win. I don't think we will, but if we could possibly win over there, and, you know, Robbie Keane, we're playing against Ferencvaros and the green and white hoops and all that kind of stuff. He's going to be up for it after what we did to him in his time in Scotland. He's probably going to be well up for it. They're going really well, Ferencvaros as well. And they're looking like qualifying automatically. They haven't been beaten yet in the group stages. I want a win. I think 3 points was, it's only the second season of this new format of the group, but it was only, there's only, I think, a couple of teams finished in 3 points last season in the Europa League. I don't want us setting any new records, any bad records in a tournament that's been so good to us that I love so much. And there's also the thing of being in the same group as Celtic. This new format allows that to happen. I want to finish a chance, maybe a finishing above them. I think we've got more chance of that than qualifying. I'm no bother about qualifying now. It's just about getting some self-respect. I want to beat Ludogorets at home. Need a home win. We need an away win. I think this might be slightly easier than Porto. The table might say otherwise. Yeah. But I want to get as many points on board. I want to get it to at least 4 points. So we're better than last season's worst in this group stage. I think after the Champions League kind of potential worst ever Champions League group a few seasons ago as well, I don't want to get through that again. So no, I really want to win it. And I don't think we've got enough of a quality in the squad to really rotate at all. And it's all about maintaining the momentum on all fronts, really. So I really want us to go for this. I think he went for it against Braga as well. There was a lot of energy expended there in that game. So I think Danny Rowe's just trying to win everything, really, that he possibly can. But I would love to win this, at least get a point out of the game, because I want to get points on the board. We're running out of games.
And go on then, will we get a point? I think we will, for what it's worth. I think we'll throw one off.
If I was to be honest, Ferencvaros are going well. They're going for like 8 in a row in the Hungarian League. Did well in this tournament. Not as good as us. They went out in the round of 32 last season, but they're going on better this season. I think we're struggling. I think we're struggling for even a point, but I'll say we'll get a point. Maybe a kind of 2 each draw. The results at home are kind of all over the place, Ferencvaros. They can damage teams away from home more readily than they do at home. They've played a lot of the same teams as us over the last couple of seasons, got roughly the same results in Europe. So it's much of a muchness, but I'll take a point. I'll go for a 2 each draw.
Okay. I'll settle for that, to be honest, at this point. So thank you very much for joining me this evening, Nick. I've enjoyed that as always. So cheers for that.
No, absolute pleasure, Ben. Fantastic agenda. Really, really enjoyed the chat. And it was lovely to be chatting after all the results went our way for a weekend.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yes. And so just for everybody, that game that we just talked about, the Ferencváros game, Jamie and Brian will be back on Friday night to discuss that. Hopefully at least a point to discuss, and then look ahead to that Hibs game on Monday night. Again, everybody, the podcast was live tonight on YouTube and will be available on all your usual Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Acast and the likes. And thanks once again to Forest Precision Engineering. And we will be back on Friday. Thank you.